This is Daniela O'Hart, and you are listening to Designing the 21st Century. I want to speak to you today about women in the world of design. Well, recent years have definitely witnessed a growing interest and attention to the study of female architects, designers, many of them we know, particularly throughout the 20th century, have experienced struggles being a minority in a professional of design. They were trying to express their creative voice, mainly a male-dominated territory. Even when they made pioneering experimental work, they were often overlooked and not always acknowledged. Today with me, Jane Hall. She wrote a book, Woman Made, Great Women Designers, which comes to tell the story of hundreds of pioneering female designers from 50 countries and those who have worked in the past about 100 years in furniture, in textile and lighting design. Some helped shaping the industry, some made history, some created work that has been recognized as groundbreaking despite difficulties to express their voices. But together, they formed an enormous body of work created exclusively by women. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Daniela.
Where are you?
I'm in London.
So tell the audience about who you are and about what you do and where you live.
So I'm actually part of an architecture and design collective called Assemble. And we're based in South London, and we've been working together for about 10 years now. There are kind of 15, sometimes 20 of us. And we began practicing because we were very interested in self-build and having a more hands-on approach to making. And that's led into research interests. And so I have a PhD about the Brazilian architect Lina Bobardi. And from that kind of pursued more projects about women in architecture and design, and have now written two books, Breaking Ground and Woman Made, both published by Fiden, which kind of recuperate a history of women's roles in the production of design from the kind of beginning of the 20th century right through to the present day. So design and research is, I kind of intersect somewhere.
I love that. Mine is also research and education. Your book covers female designers who have worked in the past 100 years about and who created very sort of innovative, exceptional design. And you say that often we're not appropriately recognized for their achievements in design, and I could not agree more. I am currently actually working on an exhibition on female designers from 1950 to 2000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I can tell you that during this period, at least, women were totally under-recognized and often working with male professional partners or working with husbands who really received the entire credit or almost the entire credit for what they did. Mm. But what I want to talk to you about today, I want to focus on this century, because this is a podcast on 21st century. And I want to ask you, what happened to female designers in the 21st century? What changed?
Well, I think there's been a bit of a shift towards design becoming more of an artistic discipline. So you find a lot of people, I think not just women, being recognized under their own name rather than as part of a large scale company or manufacturer, which I think was a very kind of 80s, 90s things, you know, like Planula and Cassina and Herman Miller. You know, that's really how I think designers in the late 20th century got their work into the world. Whereas it seems like, and what I discovered when researching Women Made, was how many women are working independently and they're prototyping, they're working out how to get things manufactured, they're doing tie-ins with companies, but they're very much kind of more artistic and independent, and I think are valued for that, which makes me think that women are able to be more visible than they were previously.
So you say that their place in contemporary design is better than before?
I think so. And I think in part, in a more kind of connected world, women also are able to kind of self-promote and operate outside maybe the kind of stricter but still dominant connected and established networks in the design industry. They're able to represent themselves much more easily.
And do you think that social media has a place in that? Because today, obviously, every designer can promote themselves.
Yeah, totally. And also, I think, connect to curators and exhibitions and clients, and also a kind of maybe younger generation interested in design who want to move away from the kind of promise of the IKEA utopia. You know, I think people with limited income actually want to invest more in design pieces or well-made furniture. And I think that's also, you know, framed by climate emergency and interest in longevity. So I think there's opportunities there that are beginning to be taken advantage of by younger designers or kind of people who have maybe made their name since kind of 2000 onwards.
So you included 200 designers?
Yes, 215.
There are some important designers that are working today that did not make it to your book.
Yeah,
let me mention just three of them, okay? One is Israeli lighting and furniture designer Ayala Sarfati, who has devised very innovative ways in revising traditional crafts with some spectacular contemporary objects. There is a second one I want to mention is American designer Katie Stout, brings the voice of her generation. She's very young. She's about 30. The narrative of design today. And the last one is Lebanese designer Najla Ezzain, who creates feminist work in furniture. And so my question to you is, how did you make the selection and what were you looking for in this book?
Well, I mean, you kind of named sort of three people who aren't in the book. I've got an Excel spreadsheet with over 800 designers who I was researching at the time, and, you know, I was limited by a publishing deadline. So I made a sort of short list of about 350 designers, and from that, Biden worked to kind of narrow it down. It was a kind of real mix. You know, the previous century, the 20th century was easier because it's kind of about this idea of women being lost to history or part of these narratives that have become very well known, but you wouldn't have known that a woman was involved, you know, iconic pieces of furniture. And I think the 21st century was much harder because of that sense of particular pieces of design not having their own kind of meaning yet because they're so new. And so I kind of looked at designers who are working in really kind of you know, who are very prominent, or those who are working in interesting or new ways, particularly around materials and technology. And in general, try to stay kind of away from the much more artistic designers. It was really focused on people who are making things for the home. And whilst a lot of the design is unaffordable, they're objects that are designed to be mass produced. So you've got people kind of like Kim Collin, who's doing really interesting stuff with digital technologies. And, you know, Patricia Akola, who, you know, is such a big name at Casina, you know, she's the most prominent kind of woman probably working in design at the moment. But then younger people like Lisa Ertel, who has a real research focus, or Rachel Griffin, who's based in Holland. So it became a kind of real mix.
So you're saying that you were looking for women who really make difference through creating things in mass production and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think the idea is that it's this notion that it's people who are working on objects that are familiar. So chairs, tables, furniture, lighting. And there is actually quite a lot of textiles, but there was a real question mark over whether textiles would be part of it. And this framing of the home and the everyday nature of these things, even though some you might not want in your house every day. But there were a lot of designers where, in actual fact, it felt like the emphasis was more, maybe more artistic or one-off pieces.
Episode is supported by Regal Right, specializing in the sale of modern and contemporary art, ceramics, jewelry, and design at auction. With a strong, independent voice and dedication to presenting materials in fresh and innovative ways, Regurate hosts more than 50 curated auctions every year in a broad range of categories and at various price points, showing that everyone can live with art and design. Visit regoarts.com or rate20.com to view upcoming auctions and to contact specialists for contemporary evaluation of works you'd like to sell. You know, I found in my own research, and that's of the 20th century, that there is a very big difference between female designers who use crafts or, for example, you know, they work with clay or with fiber art or even silversmithing, versus women who created cutting edge design. And there are much, much less of that.
Yeah, I think the craft question, I think, is really interesting. It's like a really blurry boundary when something is craft and when something is design. And I think design with a sort of capital D is sort of framed by modernism. It's the genesis of the modern movement. And you see a lot of designers trying to work in, particularly across West Africa and the Middle East, who are trying to take and revisit traditional craft principles, which often are very matriarchal, and interpret them through a kind of a more international notion of design. So I found some really interesting designers working in the UAE and in Kuwait who are kind of rethinking the value of labor and craft in their practice.
Even today, when I teach in design schools, and I do often, I see that most students are girls. And I'm talking now about product design, about interior design. They're mostly girls and they're graduating. But then when you go higher up, when you see where ideas turn into reality, whether it's interiors or products, most practicing figures who make it today to the forefront of the design world are men. And I can tell you, for example, I'm having a program right now called Interior Design the Legends, where I conduct talks with the, you know, the most successful and admired interior designers in the world, and they are, most of them are men.
Yeah, I think, you know, in architecture as well, over 50% of people studying are women, and inevitably that drops to kind of 30% of women are architects in practice. And I think it's not actually a problem that is restricted to the design professions. You see this in all industries that are supposedly meritocratic or have kind of managed to combat that issue around gender. And it's because we live in a very patriarchal and biased world. And particularly in design, generationally, people tend to really establish themselves at that level in their late 40s and 50s. So I think on the one hand, we're starting to see larger numbers of women kind of coming through because they're part of that kind of beginning when pedagogy was becoming much more kind of filled with women. But at the same time, you know, you look at the big manufacturers and they still list two or three women against a list of designers that are 20, 30 men strong. So it's a real problem. And that's why I think books like Women Made, this kind of podcast, are really great, because they're just simply making people more visible when they probably wouldn't be otherwise.
I enjoy discovering designers that I didn't know in your book, and particularly those who work in the art world. And I am curious to know what's the situation there for female designers or architects.
It was really interesting speaking to a lot of women who are working in, particularly in Saudi Arabia, who have actually been trained in America. In the US, there's so much transnationalism within design education. And I think what you see in this century more than the last is that people move to study or for other reasons to do with immigration, but then they move back to China or to Iran or to Saudi Arabia, you know, all these countries where they don't have a traditional commercial market for design. And so women are really establishing that, and they're able to do it because design is still seen as something for women. it's an occupation for women because architecture is for men. So actually, within design in a broader sense, including architecture, you see that a lot of the roles for men are within the kind of building industry. And for women, design is something that is actually very open to being defined. And you see this generation of women kind of doing that. And so one designer, Rand Abdel-Jabbar, who is in the book, she makes these beautiful sculptural pieces of furniture using local boat building techniques and working with local boat builders. And when I was talking to her, I was like, well, you know, what's it like being a woman working here? And she's like, well, actually, it's all women, only women in the design scene. And now there is more of a focus on that part of the world in general, you know, and with the huge numbers of biennales and triennials and all these kind of things for design, located in all these new geographic regions where they weren't before, actually, I think there's going to be a lot of exciting things happening that are women-led in those places.
You know, there is a question which I am debating with. Do you think that there is a special identity to design created by female? So in other words, it's very easy to see when a piece of furniture was created by a fashion designer or by an architect or by a product designer. And my question, if we can see the female voice in the product?
I think actually increasingly today, no. It's not something I would say was true particularly anyway, but I think you see really just bringing together so many designs by women, you're kind of just really seeing the kind of interests of women within a field that's dominated by men. I think maybe in the previous century, you had themes introduced that you wouldn't have had by men. A lot around the kind of nuclear family and how we live. And I think actually this kind of notion that there's a separate aesthetic somehow, in a way, often becomes this kind of distraction from, I think, actually focusing on a lot of the issues around gender and design.
So, you know, it's interesting to me how you have devoted your career to the study of women in design and architecture. And I read in your book that it really grew from your own frustration with a presentation of women in architecture and design. Is it something that you see in your work as an architect? Or is it something that you see in your studies as a scholar?
Definitely in practice. And I think it's, you know, quite nuanced. You know that in the sense that you're treated in a different way, even if it's just that someone doesn't look you in the eye or addresses your male colleague before you. You know, there's very like small day-to-day details, which I think can become very normalized if you're a woman in design or in architecture or other professions more generally. And, you know, turning up for meetings and being the only woman amongst eight men, it's very striking. And I think you behave in a way that maybe you wouldn't if you were kind of around other women. And particularly coming from a perspective which is really about design being something that's handmade, that you can read the way in which things are made, being very important and telling a kind of social and political history, means that I found myself in workshops very often and on building sites, which are incredibly kind of gendered spaces. So I think it's not just about there being more women making, but actually spaces in which products are made are kind of really important. They're spaces of work, they're spaces of production and of labor, and they're hugely gendered. And so I think that's a real starting point for thinking about how we can have more women working productively in design.
What do you think is next for female in the field of design and architecture? Now we are at the beginning of the third decade of the 21st century.
I think it would be great to see some of the larger companies and design firms proactively hiring women, you know, as you say, kind of in those more senior positions, and see a more of a plurality of voices amongst designers, just more generally, not just restricted to gender, but, you know, kind of more intersectional representation of designers from across the world now that it's so international, you know, really seeing kind of designs, particularly by women, getting that attention and focus that the other designers traditionally have got. And I think there's some really interesting starting points. You know, it's something that obviously really does interest people. You know, you've got your exhibition coming up. Vitra in Germany have just launched an exhibition about women designers. When I do talks about women in design, often a majority of the audience or half the audience are men. So I think it's not something that is limiting to just other women, which I think is really exciting and maybe a bit of a shift from kind of 10 years ago.
That's so great to conclude with optimistic hope. Thanks for listening to Designing the 21st Century. And I'll be here in 2 weeks with Frank Gehry, the architect that everyone loves to love.